Hola. Ay, Dios mío, it's Thursday. Time for Jackie's Vida Loca, where every week we divulge our Latino secrets, talk about our crazy Latino culture, gossip about our crazy Latino friends and relatives, and interview the craziest, the funniest Latino comedians on the Latino comedy scene. Welcome to my crazy life. Jackie's Vida Loca.
Bueno, loquitos, it is Thursday. Here we are again, and you know what? Today's show is all about your mama. We are going to honor our mamas no matter how insane they make us. Because you know what? You would never be anything if your mama wasn't there for you. And you know what? Some people, their mamas are not there for you. Not there for them either. But, and that's not funny, but we are celebrating the good mommies, the ones that love us, the ones that take care of us. And we have such amazing people joining our show today. First of all, we have Alice Sarkeesian. She is an incredible woman. Listen, people, this is somebody who literally rescued a dying baby that somebody had abandoned in the hospital. And she stepped up and adopted this child. She is going to walk you through that journey. And if you have tissues, you better make sure they're handy, because this story is one of a kind, and she is a one of a kind individual, Alice Sarkeesian. She's writing a book, and she's telling her story publicly first here on Jackie's Vida Loca. The next person we're going to interview, who's probably going to be out of breath when she comes on the air with us, is Nina Newton. Now, Nina, you may or may not know, has a toddler, Alex, but she's also pregnant with her second child. So like many moms out there, she is absolutely pulling her hair out right now. And so hopefully we'll get a chance to really understand what provoked her to get pregnant with a baby while she has a toddler. Many, many moms do this, but we're going to get a peek into her world and see how you can relate to that. And then, of course, the third of our guests today is going to be my mama. Now, Paulita is probably one of the most crazy moms you'll ever meet in your life. We'll get her to tell you the story about the duck that came into our house, and we'll get her to tell you all kinds of stories. There is nobody in this world that is more perfect than my mother. She is my angel. She is the best thing that happened to me. From the day I was born, she adored me, and I appreciate my mom, and I dedicate this show to Binky. Binky is my mom, and that's her name from now on. Okay? You got it? Okay. All right, so you know what? We're going to talk about moms. We're going to celebrate Mother's Day today on Jackie's Vida Loca, and we're going to talk about the 10 things that make a good mother. The first thing that makes a good mother is violence. Not violence in the traditional source, like you obviously don't want your mother to kill you, literally, although they do threaten death, but mothers that know how to discipline your ass, because you know what? Every kid will do everything possible to try to get away with as much as possible, and that is what mothers are there for, to discipline your ass. And I do believe there is a role for spanking. Now, there are some mothers that everything the kid does, they're spanking them and they're hitting them. That's not a good thing either. But it never hurts to give a kid a good whack in the tush when they do something they shouldn't do. All right? The next thing that makes a really, really good mom is a mom that gives you presents, especially on Mother's Day. You're going to hear how my mom, every Mother's Day, she gives me a present. And she tells me, thank you for being her daughter. Now you go figure, like I had anything to do with that. My mom gives me a present, and this is why I adore her so much. She's a great mom because she loves me and because she gives me presents on Mother's Day. Now she better not forget this year, but I'm giving her a great present, and wait till you hear what I'm giving her, okay? The next thing that makes a good mother is that she supports your ass no matter what you are, no matter who you are. She is there for you until your dying day, even if that dying day is on death row. And I got to tell you, you take people like Casey Anthony's mother, Jesus, she's pretty much stuck through that girl through thick and thin, even when that little bitch called her father a molester. That woman stuck it out through and through. I bet you she got a few wrinkles during that case. So if you're an axe murderer, your mother still has to love you. Another good trait that makes a really good mom, now moms everywhere, you can relate, a mother that makes you fat. Moms that make us eat our food. And I'm not talking about putting Coca-Cola in your baby bottle. I'm not talking about anything like that. But I'm talking about moms that make sure that you're fat and healthy. All right? And in the Latino world, fat does equal healthy. Whatever. Moms that want to make sure that you eat. You know, I used to sit at the dinner table with the double whammy, my mom and my grandmother. And they were like the food monitors. They literally, if I didn't eat something on my plate, immediately one of them would be like, oh, you didn't eat your peas. Oh, you didn't eat your platanitos. They would literally be there to make sure that I was eating everything I needed to eat. Here's another thing. A mom that cleans your poop and your puke and your boogers and all that stuff with her own hand. There are some mothers that do it with their own hand, and I would say that's true love. A mother to touch baby poop, you know baby poop smells worse than anything else. Like that and a dead body is about the same thing. Here's another one. They can produce anything you need from their magical purse because every mother's pocketbook, do people still say pocketbook? I have this person that's always talking about her purse like a pocketbook, and I think she's just imitating somebody she knows. But she's always calling it a pocketbook, so now I sound like I'm a woman from the 60s calling a purse a pocketbook. But moms have magical purses. Like, there is nothing they can't find in that purse. If you need, like, a grape-flavored lollipop, it's in there. If you need, like, a new diaper, it's in there. If you need, like, a genie in a bottle, she's got it in her purse. Moms have everything in their magical purse. Oh, here's another thing. Another thing that makes up a really good mom is their ability to count from 1 to 3 very slowly. You know you're a good mom when you can count from 1 to the number 3 to scare the life out of anyone. That little 1, 2, 3 can literally terrify anybody. If you can do that, you're a good mom. Another aspect of a good mom is that they have a medical degree. Even if they didn't go to medical school, they have a medical degree. They can tell by the shape of your scar or your sore or the bump on your head or whatever. If you think about it, moms save your life every day because kids get into all kinds of crap. And they figure out whether that's the kind of crap that you're going to die from or not. Because, you know, there's nobody else going to make that decision but mom. So they are doctors even if they didn't go to medical school. And moms, I think in order to be mom, and I don't know whether this happens before you actually have children or after, but to be a good mom, this kind of goes with the touching the poop with your own hand, but you have to have like a super high tolerance for gross. I know I don't have that. I mean, I look at something gross and I want to throw up, right? But moms can look at anything. They can look at anything and go, oh, no problem. That doesn't smell like shit. That doesn't look like crap. I mean, you know, they can look at poop and puke and muckles and sticky wounds and broken heads and sweaty, stinky butts, and they just take a hose to you and you're done. And that makes a good mother. That makes a good mother. Really. To me, the best moms ever. All right, let's make a list here. We're going to start with Mother Teresa. There was no better mother than Mother Teresa, and she wasn't even a mother. But whatever, we can indoctrinate her into the mother circle because it's in her name. And she was very, very good, so she's one of the best moms ever, in my opinion. And the Virgin Mary, along the same lines of Mother Teresa, I would say the Virgin Mary ranks as probably history's best mom ever. Like, even better than Carol Brady on the Brady Bunch, the Virgin Mary has everybody beat. I can't say she has my mom beat, because my mom is the best mom in the history of the planet. But the Virgin Mary was pretty amazing. The things she had to put up with. Why did her son become a preacher? Why? She would have had such a much easier life. But no, he decided to take on the world. And you know what? She was there to support him till his dying moment. And you got to hand it off to the Virgin Mary. Here's another one. Best moms ever? I would say Angelina Jolie has to be one of the best moms ever. Forget the fact that she has 1,000 nannies. Forget the fact she has a private plane, so she never has to go through security with those little bastards at an airport. Forget the fact that she has somebody doing all of her laundry. She has somebody feeding these kids 24/7. She's still one of the best moms ever because she's adopted half the world. And those kids would never, ever, ever even know what the wheel of an airplane looked like. They wouldn't even have an airplane toy. And in this case, they actually have their own plane. And they're going to have very bright futures. And you know what? I joke around about this, but I got to hand it to Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. they have literally saved the world from some of the, you know, biggest desperation because they're adopting these kids. Now, I would say if they want to adopt a few more, there's a few more here right here in our backyard. But you know what? We're a world community. That's their belief, and I agree. And I think that adoption is one of the most noble things you can do. So my hat goes off to Angelina Jolie. Here's another one, Tina Fey. Now, I don't know what kind of a mom she is really, but she's got to be the world's funniest mom. And if you can have humor as one of your mom traits, I think you can get by more easily. Like, rather than getting pissed off at your kids, just do a stand-up comedy routine. They'll never know what hit them. Now, before she got arrested, I would say Reese Witherspoon was a really good mom. But, ladies and gentlemen, she backtalked to a cop in Atlanta. She was drunk and he was drunk. And you got to understand that when you're Reese Witherspoon, and of course she asked the cop if they knew who she was. Well, everybody does now, honey, because before you open your mouth to do that kind of stuff, you need to think about the repercussions that this is going to have on your children. Because forget the fact that her career is now struggling, but, you know, everybody's criticizing her, and she's trying to deal with it. You know, your children come first before that career. And you got to imagine what this is doing to her kids, all this mess she's gotten herself into. One mom I really like is Katie Holmes. I love her. I love her because she was married to somebody who's absolutely insane. And she was able to get the hell out of there and escape with her child. It was like a third world country being married to Tom Cruise. So she was able to escape with her daughter intact. And she still dresses this child like she's a model, like she's just a princess. So not only was she able to escape from a third world country with her daughter Suri, but she's also able to dress Suri in the hottest fashions. And I think the whole combination is pretty darn good. And here's another one. Hillary Clinton. You know what? Hillary Clinton deserves a Medal of Honor because Chelsea Clinton could have been the most effed up child in the history of the White House. Chelsea Clinton is amazing. Frankly, I think she could be one of the first women presidents because I think we're going to have a woman president before her. But you know what? Chelsea Clinton is grooming herself and educating herself and participating in things that are very noteworthy. And I would say that Hillary Clinton and even Bill did a tremendous job with that daughter. And you know what? I got to give credit to both of them because they, you know, you'd always see them on family outings, family vacations. Somewhere along the lines, in the midst of all the madness, Hillary and Bill did a great job with Chelsea. So for me, she falls into the best moms ever category. Now here's another one, best mom, Madonna. I mean, come on, the name. The name gives it all. I mean, forget whatever she's done. She's called Madonna, and by the very essence of her name, we have to put her in the best moms ever category. And her daughter, Lourdes, is a designer whose clothes are carried at Macy's. Now, that would have never happened if her mom wasn't named Madonna. But, you know, that kid could be all over the tabloids. Look at all the youth that's in the tabloids because they have some form of notoriety. And this girl, Madonna's daughter, of all people, who was probably one of the most controversial stars and continues to be an incredible force in the industry and is just a force to be reckoned with. But Madonna's daughter could have fallen off the deep end, and she didn't. She's a businesswoman. Now, here's another mom that I have full respect for, Dumbo's mom. You know, the flying elephant? Because everybody at Dumbo's school used to bully him, and it was his mother that came and protected him from all those bullying elephants and all the other people in his class. Not necessarily people, but animals, because animals do bully each other too. And I think that a mom needs to step up and protect their children. And some people out there may completely disagree with me, but I think the role of a mother is to protect your children and to teach them all the things they need to protect themselves. But when you see your child being bullied, you know what? If it was me, and I said this on previous shows, if it was me and somebody was bullying my kid, I'd literally go to the school myself. I'd find that kid in class, and I'd wring his little neck. or whoever it was, because girls bully too, and it's just not right. But Dumbo's mom deserves the recognition for being one of the best moms. And another great mom is Marge Simpson. Now check out that hair. Marge Simpson wakes up every single day with the perfect haircut, with the perfect hairdo, and she's always even keel, and she's always positive, and she always finds the solution to everything. Marge Simpson is one of the best moms in history. And I think just because she has blue hair, doesn't mean that we have to hold it against her, because Marge Simpson is an amazing mother. Now, I'd like to introduce you at this very moment to the most amazing mother of all. Hello?
Hello.
How you doing, Paulita?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Welcome to Jackie's Vida Loca. You know, you're always welcome to Jackie's Vida Loca.
Of course. I know that.
In fact, you live Jackie's Vida Loca.
I know. I'm part of it.
Yeah, you are part of the craziness. Do you think that my craziness comes from you?
I don't think so.
No? Who is it going to come from? The mailman?
I don't know. Not from the mailman.
No? You don't even know do you know the mailman's name?
Well, I know the one now, but at the time when you came around, I didn't know the mailman's name.
What about the milkman?
Come on. I don't know the milkman's name either.
Okay, let's forget about the milkman and the mailman. I just want to wish you publicly here, because you know we're going to do stuff for Mother's Day, but I want to publicly wish you a very happy, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, honey. And I want to say thank you for being my daughter.
You see? I told you people she would say this.
Oh, yes. Thank you for being my daughter, because if you were not my daughter, I wouldn't be a mother. And I thank God a million times for a wonderful daughter that he gave me. So I am a lucky mama.
Well, people are going to think I paid you to say that.
No, you didn't. You never paid me for saying anything good about you. I do it free.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I've already told everybody. We sound like the Mutual Admiration Society here, because I've already told everybody that you're the perfect mother.
Well, I don't say I'm perfect, but I'm trying to be the best mother I can be.
What do you think makes a good mom?
What does it make a good mom? A good mom is somebody that loves their children and watches over them and teach them to have respect for themselves before anything else, because I feel that if you have respect for yourself and you love yourself, you're going to love everybody else and you're going to have respect for everybody else.
What do you think of them?
That one that stays up all night taking care of the baby or the child when the child needs you and when it is sick, and, you know, it's a good mom has a million things.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. What if the kid's a brat? What do you do with them then?
Oh, I wring their neck.
You wring their neck? Well, I mean,
no.
You just send them back and ask for another one.
No. Maybe. If the kid is a brat, you know, sometimes, I don't want to say it, but sometimes I blame it on the parents, you know. You have to teach your kid from the moment he is born. You have to teach him how to behave and how to be nice and polite and respectful, and then you won't have a brat.
Hey, let me ask you this. You know the one that was the Octomom?
Yes.
She had 1,000 children. Do you think she's a good mom?
Well, in a way, I think she loves her children. I mean, I don't think she was right to have so many kids and not to be able to ¿cómo se llama? To
afford it.
Afford it, you know. But to have so many kids like that, you have to have a lot of money in order to give them whatever they need, nice things and everything, even though sometimes you can be a very good mother and you cannot afford to give your child very good things. But, you know, I think she loved her children, and, that was her choice to have so many kids. But I think it was very irresponsible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my opinion about
her. Let me ask you this. You know Lindsay Lohan, her mother Dina, do you think she's a good mom?
Her mother who?
Dina Lohan. Do you think she's Dina a good mom?
I am not too familiar with her. I don't know.
Well, Dina Lohan goes out with Lindsay. She parties with Lindsay. She's let Lindsay do whatever the hell she wants. And frankly, I think that Dina Lohan wanted to be the superstar herself. So I think she's probably one of the worst mothers ever.
Well, to go with her and party with her and everything, is nothing wrong with that, because we used to go out with you and party with you. And
yeah, but we didn't do cocaine together.
No, wait a minute. That's what I say. But to spoil her and let her do whatever she wanted to do, even when she was doing the wrong thing, I don't think that's to be a good mother.
Hey, let me ask you this. You know, because our show is Latino-inspired, but comedy for everybody, and I want to ask your opinion on something. Do you think there's a difference between a Latina mother and a gringa mother? Do you think there are differences there?
Definitely.
Okay, so tell me the top three things that you think are the differences.
Well, the difference is that the Latino mother is very strict with the children. They very dedicated, very devoted to the children. Even though, you know, that's not the case all the time, but in general, they are very strict with the children. They always want the children to do the right thing, you know.
Yeah, but I would say that would hold true for gringa mothers too. I mean, they don't want their kids to do bad things, and they're
still dedicated.
No.
But I think they are good too. I have nothing against them, but what I say is, you know, that we being brought up the way we were brought up, we want to bring the children the same way, and sometimes we are a little bit too strict with them, you know. And but I have nothing against the Latino or the Spanish.
Yeah, but here are some other ways I think they're different. I think Latina moms are always metidas in your business. Like, they're always in your business.
That's true, yeah. They never let go of the child, you know.
Yeah.
They, no matter how old the child is, if he's not married and he lives with them, you are the boss. You know, the child have to do, or the son or the daughter have to do whatever the mother and the parents say.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the other thing. If you're Latino and you're 55 years old, but you're not married and you want to live at home, totally fine. If you're 55 years old and you're a gringo, they're going to put you on the street.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But if you live with mom and dad and you are 65 and you are Latino, you have to do what the mom and dad says, you know?
Right.
The house, no matter how old you are, the mom and the dad are the bosses, and that's what they're going to have to do.
Let's talk about Latino discipline, because that's very different. I think that you know, gringo moms basically don't use violence. And they are very, you know, they think through what they're going to do to that child emotionally for the rest of their lives. But Latina moms, I mean, let's talk about abuela.
Well, I think, like I say, Latino moms are more strong, more...
Okay, you're evading the answer. Because my abuela used to be able to take whatever she had close to her, and in order to discipline her kids, she would throw it at them.
Okay, but you're talking about abuela. Let's talk about somebody right now, because when abuela was, like I say, when abuela was brought up, she was brought up that way, and that was the way the parents thought that they had to discipline the children.
Doesn't happen anymore?
I don't think that happens anymore, no. No, that doesn't happen. It might happen, you know, once in a while.
Okay, Mom, let me ask you this. I feel like Latina moms are always coming up with some sort of crazy cure or tea, something that they feel is going to cure you of whatever you have.
Well,
wait a minute. What is the craziest concoction that you ever got as a kid to cure a particular illness?
I remember when my brother fell down from a house that the father was building, and he got a piece of rock under his foot, that's mm-hmm. Tio Paco. Mm-hmm. I remember that a neighbor said to them, you have to take a lizard and cut his head and smash it and put it there to cure that.
Are you kidding me?
No, That's right. One of the neighbors said that, you know. They
so was he cured?
No, he had to go to the doctor and everything. They didn't do it.
Oh, they didn't kill the lizard. Thank God. I'm glad to hear that because that would have been totally cruel to animals. So your neighbor believed.
But my neighbor believed that the head of the lizard had something that it was like will pull that thing out, you know. That's, you know, that's the way they thought at that time. Don't forget, I'm 81 years old, so 81 years ago, things were entirely different than as now, Jackie.
I know. Well, I want to know, what is your favorite childhood memory?
My favorite childhood memory? Well, you mean like when I was in junior high school or something like that?
As long as you were a child and had a memory, that's all I care about.
Well, do you think I have a memory? my favorite memory was when my father used to come home at night, in the evening from work, and we used to go and play baseball in the back of the house.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
That was so much fun, and I remember my father making different toys for us to play in the backyard and everything, but he used to come home, eat, and go and play baseball with us in the back until we couldn't see the ball anymore. It was night already. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. Your mother, what was the best beauty advice that she ever gave you?
My best beauty advice?
Her best beauty advice for you.
Beauty?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, she used to tell me to take cucumbers and put them on my face and my eyes.
Did it work? People still do that, you know.
Yeah, they still do it. I heard that they do it. Yeah.
What's your best beauty advice for me?
Beauty advice from you? For you? I don't know. Now it's creams and moisturizers and all kinds of junk that you put in my face.
I put it on your face too.
So once in a while, if I let you.
Yeah, do you know when we go shopping at Sephora, what I do to you? What do I do to you at Sephora?
I was going to tell you, only when we go to Sephora, you put a lot of junk, but I don't let you do it anymore.
That's because I haven't taken you for a while. But you know where I'm taking you for Mother's Day, right?
Oh, my goodness, I can't wait. I'm telling you that my suitcase is at the door for 3 days already.
Okay, so tell our listeners what you're going to be doing for Mother's Day.
We are going to Las Vegas.
Oh, my goodness. And do you like to gamble?
And what happens in Las Vegas, stay in Las Vegas. Don't forget that.
Well, is that because you won't be able to remember it?
No, because I'm going to gamble. I'm going to try to go to the casinos. I'm looking forward to that.
Mom, let me tell you something. If we go to Las Vegas, you cannot take your clothes off in front of other people.
Oh, no. I'll be sure not to do that.
Yeah, please make sure. And if you find a boyfriend there, you got to be nice.
Yeah,
you can't
be
just taken off by yourself.
I'll be nice. I'll throw him to the lions there.
The lions at MGM. They'll eat him.
Yeah, right.
All right, Mom. I just want to tell you.
Time.
Yeah, you're going to have an amazing time in Las Vegas. Well,
yeah.
I just want to tell you that I love you and I appreciate you being my mom and all the wonderful, wonderful things you've done for me all my life. And honestly, I always call you my little angel and I really mean that. So you're the most special mom in the entire world, and I thank you for loving me as you do.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for being my daughter. I love you very much, and believe me, I am one of the happiest mothers in the whole world, and I I thank God a million times for giving me such a nice daughter. Thank you so much, and I want to say happy Mother's Day to all my family, all the mothers in my family. If they listen to your radio show. And I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the whole world. Okay?
I think if you would have just said Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the whole world, that would have covered your family.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Mommy,
okay,
I love
sweetie.
You. I'll talk to you later, all right?
Okay, sweetie. I love you, too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, that was Paulita, everybody, and she is the most darling mother in the whole world, and as you heard, she's just a cutie pie, and I'm going to take her to Vegas, and I'm going to hope that she shakes her bomb bomb the whole time. But for right now, we are going to a commercial break, and then I'm going to play the interview with Alice Sarkisian. She's amazing. You're going to love her. Just wait till you get a hold of this lady. Her story is unbelievable.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zuli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Okay, loquitos, I'm here with Alice Sarkisian. She is the mother of a brilliant boy named Simon. She is writing a book about her life journey, and you're going to hear all about it. She's going to tell us about the unconventional way that she became a mom. In honor of our mothers that are listening and all our mothers that are out there, you know who you are, we are proud to bring Alice onto our show. So I want to welcome you to Jackie's Vida Loca. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
I'm so excited to have you on the show because I think your story is phenomenal, and I can totally understand why you're writing a book. But before we get into that, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are.
Okay, Jackie, I come from an Armenian descent. I was born in Baghdad, but grew up here in California all my life. And I was married, and then I had a daughter. She passed away after birth, and I was separated from my husband. That's how my story starts. Through our family friend, they had a baby who was terminally ill in Children's Hospital, and they found this abandoned baby. I heard about the baby that way. And I always loved children, and I always felt those abandoned children, sick children, they have to have a chance to enjoy life also, no matter how long they live, you know?
Right.
So to me, it was like something, not that I wanted to do it or I was even ready to do it. Just when I heard about this one child, he was like born and 2 months old.
So you went to Children's Hospital to visit someone else's child that was ill.
Right, yes.
And that's when you found out about a baby that had been abandoned?
Yes. He was born with stage 4 liver cancer called neuroblastoma, and the doctors gave him 5% chance to survive. So the biological family, they were Armenian also. They were from Russia. They couldn't handle the situation because the baby was dying, and they left him. So he was in the hospital almost a month and a half. That's when I decided, I said, I'm taking this baby home no matter what. If he lives, I'll take care of him. If he dies, you know, actually I prayed for it. You know, and I asked God to give me the strength. And I asked the Lord to give me either if he's going to take the baby, let him take it. And then if he was going to live, I will raise him and I will praise God always and show there's miracles. People not to give up hope.
I have such respect for just the fact that you saw this child whose family had abandoned him, and you were so compelled to pray for that child and eventually take that child into your home, not knowing whether that child was going to live or die. He was incredibly ill.
Correct. You know what? I don't know, but somehow I got the strength. So I came home and I told my mother, you know what? I am taking this child. My family were kind of upset. They said, you lost your daughter. You're always in the cemetery crying. But I told her, somehow I felt like God gave me the strength and he showed me both ways. If he dies, I'm ready. If he lives, I'm ready. Of course, the hospital didn't give me much hope themselves. They told me he will die. They told me also, if he lives, he'll be brain slow. Don't expect him to graduate high school. But again, miracles happen.
So here's the thing. I'm thinking you are taking this child into your home, and there's a very good chance he's going to pass away. You've already experienced a tremendous loss by having lost a daughter. What was the story behind that?
My daughter was born 6 months premature. I had some kind of a blood disease, so I couldn't hold the child. So she was born, lived 9 hours, and then she passed away.
And how long before that happened to you?
This happened in 1984.
When did you find this new baby that needed
you? 1990.
So 6 years after the death of your daughter,
right,
this baby comes into your life. How did you decide to name him Simon?
You see, it was a biblical name that I always liked. His name is Simon Peter. Simon, to me, in the Bible, it's a rock. So I said, this baby is going to be a rock. That's
wow.
How I chose his name.
A beautiful meaning. He is a rock. What happened? So he actually started to thrive under your care.
That's what the doctor says. Of course, it was like with chemotherapies. He would stay in the hospital for 1 week every month, and then I have to bring him home and administer chemo at home. He struggled, and I struggled. Of course, his fever would go up, and then I'm running back in and out of the hospital. And in the meantime, I'm working, you know. So I didn't quit work or anything because I had to support myself. So it was very, you know, like I said, it was a struggle. But I took one day at a time. Even the doctor says the love, that the care you gave this baby gave him hope to live.
That just goes to show how the human spirit, human beings,
right,
need love to survive. And it,
yes,
it sounds like such an amazing undertaking, but as you mentioned early on, you did this on your own because you were a single, at that point, you were a,
yes,
single mom.
Yes.
And doing this all on your own while managing a full-time job.
Yes.
Alice, tell me about moments in your life during those days when you felt like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into?
Actually, Jackie, I never said that. I never, never said that. I just asked God to give me the strength, you know, to show me a way. Of course, the love of my family, too. A week that he stayed in the hospital, my mom stayed with him in the hospital. In the meantime, I cooked for Simon at home. I never gave him hospital food, jar foods. And again, my mom, my sister, they helped a lot.
You're going through all this work and all this dedication to bring this child back from the throes of cancer. And you're doing all this, something tells me, because you were giving him so much of yourself.
Yes.
But something tells me that he gave you so much. You were being incredibly fulfilled by this whole process.
Oh, my God. Jackie, you want, I mean, I don't know how, I said if I had my own child, I don't know if I had loved them this much. Because the love God puts in person's heart when you adopt a child, it's different feeling. I always tell them, Simon, they can say anything about me. If anybody says something about you, I will rip their heart. I always tell them that. And I never said anything bad about his biological family because I didn't want him to grow up with hate, you know. It wasn't good for him to know the hate. I didn't even tell him about his cancer. All the visits to the hospitals that we had every month, like during when he was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, so he keeps saying, Mom, why are we coming to the hospital? I tell him, everybody has a doctor. They go for checkup, and this is your doctor is here. I never mentioned to him that he had a cancer. He was dying. I always made it like, oh, you're beautiful. I picked you up from all the children in the hospital. You're the best one.
He didn't even grow up knowing that he was actually very sick. To him, it was just another doctor visit.
Yes. But eventually he found out when he was like 9, 10 years old. Slowly he found out. The doctors told him, you know.
How old is Simon now?
My goodness, he's 23 years old.
He's a healthy
guy. He's a healthy boy. He's a miracle boy. Everything the doctor said, he beat them all. He beat all the odds. Actually, that's one of the titles I'm trying to use it maybe in the book. It's one of the few that I've chosen. They said he'll be brain slow. Don't expect him to graduate high school. But he graduated with honors, and he went to City Glendale College. Now he attends the Cal State Northridge University. And he's hoping to be an attorney. Hopefully next year he'll go into law school. And he wants to be, believe it or not, adoption attorney.
That is an inspired vocation that he's choosing because of the love you gave him. I just want to say I'm completely in awe of your story and of your person. Because as good as people are, and I do believe that people are generally,
yes,
good, people do bad things. And honestly, to think that you have a dying child and you just abandon them in a hospital.
Yes.
I can't even fathom that.
Children's Hospital, that time it was the cancer unit, the fourth floor cancer unit. It was like, I don't wish that floor to my enemy's child to be there. It's the worst place on earth, the experience I had over there, it was like, oh my gosh, there's no hope for this child. There's no hope for anybody, you know. Every 2 days you hear another child died from the next room. But you know what? Thank God we live in a country that there is help for you, health-wise, financial-wise, for adoptive parents. So I encourage people, seriously. I mean, at the beginning, my family, friends, relatives, some friends, they were like hurting me. They say, oh, people don't adopt well child. You went ahead and adopted an ill child. What's wrong with you? You know what? That's behind now. Everybody sees him and everybody admires him. And he's such a good boy. He's a very nice guy.
If you're the birth mother of a child, you're expecting them to have certain traits that are similar to yours or your partner's or whatever. In the case of an adopted child, you sort of, in a way, getting to know a completely different family, a completely different person.
Correct.
How is Simon like you? What are the things that you feel, wow, you know, in a previous life we knew each other?
Jackie, the way he respects me, the way he treats me, I mean, he doesn't say too much, but every occasion, Mother's Day, birthdays, Christmas, New Year's, he has big surprises for me. And that's why everybody sees like, oh my gosh. Oh, by the way, in 2007, I found his biological parents.
What were they like?
I mean, they're good people. I mean, I don't know. They're nice people. It was just something, I guess, they couldn't handle it, the child's illness. But, you know, they love him. Actually, everything is in detail in my book about how they met and what's the relationship between the sisters. And he has two nieces now. He visits them. We're good friends now. Let's put it that way.
The reason why everything worked out in the end comes down to one thing, and that is you, the actions that you've taken.
Thank you,
in raising that boy and in creating an incredible young man who loves his mother and is good to his family and has an open heart, because you could have put so many negative things. Today, he lives a fruitful life because of the gift you gave him, not just of life, but of how to live as a good human being. And I got to tell you, my hat goes off to you.
Thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit about the future here. Now, you're writing a book. Do you have a publisher? Are you looking for a publisher? Are you going to self-publish this book? Tell us a little bit about
that. I'm just writing the book because all my friends, they were encouraging me. There's three things made me write this book. First, for people not to give up hope on any kind of illness. We have a doctor in heaven. He's above all the doctors. The second thing is, even single people, don't be afraid, you know, to adopt. Everything is available for you, mm-hmm. financial-wise, medical-wise. The third one is, there's too many things. So I started writing the book. I don't have a publisher yet.
I think you will absolutely not have any trouble finding a publisher for this story, because I think your story is unique in many ways, because it doesn't happen every day. But I think people will relate to is the deepness of a mother's love and how families are created even through unconventional methods. So many parents want to have babies, and sometimes they themselves cannot have their own children, so they look into adoption. And this story is such an amazing success story.
The love he has toward my mother, the grandmother, the aunt, you know, it's amazing. I thank God for everything.
So Mother's Day is a time where we children want to thank our own mothers and show our appreciation for them. But every single year, my mother gets me a card and a present, believe it or not.
Oh,
she thanks me. I know, she's the best. She thanks me for being her daughter, which I find very funny because I say it's all your fault. I had nothing to do with it.
That's
but
true.
What I'd like to ask you is now, right this minute, you have an opportunity to give a message to your son. What would you like to say to him?
Always tell him, thank God for everything you have, and then be a good citizen. I'm so happy he chose the field he's going into, being an adoption attorney, because he's giving back to the society. And that's my hope for him. And I do hope he can also help other families. His story will help other people to pursue adoption. You don't have to go out of the country to adopt. We have so many children here in our country. When I hear about the foster's home, it just breaks my heart. I wish I could have adopted other children, you know, but I couldn't myself, you know.
Yeah, I think you did plenty. You gave so much up to do what you felt was the right thing. Out of everything that you did, the most compelling part is how much you seem to have gotten from this experience. I want to thank you so much for being on our show today.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. And I do hope all the mothers, I wish them a happy Mother's Day.
too, myself.
Well, we want to wish you a very special, special Mother's Day this year. You deserve it. If I were your child, if I was Simon, I'd throw you a parade right now.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you, and I'm honored to be on your show.
How amazing Alice Sarkeesian's story, and what a beautiful, beautiful person she is. And I'm so pleased that I had an opportunity to interview her because, you know, you hear these stories. How could somebody, where do people find it in their heart to leave a little baby, even if they have 5% of a chance to live, to leave a little baby in a hospital and not want to see that through? I guess it must have been just gut-wrenching. And I don't want to sit here in judgment, you know, although it's hard not to. But I do sit in judgment of Alice, and I say that she is one of the most amazing mothers I have ever met. And so I just thank her for being on our show and sharing that story. And I want to tell you, when her book comes out, I encourage you all to go out and run to the store and buy it and actually give her good ratings and everything on Amazon, because this woman has given up her entire life to bring this baby back to life, and it was just unbelievable. What a great story. And, you know, this show today is to honor our beautiful moms, the ones that take care of us and do so many things for us. And I myself have so many memories of my childhood that are my favorite memories with my mom. Like, you know, one of the earliest memories I have was just lying on her chest, you know, and there's a particular scent that my mom had, was perfume, and I just felt so comfortable there. It was a warm chest to just lie on and feel completely protected. So that is absolutely one of my favorite childhood memories. I'll be sharing some more of these. But first, I want to read one of our Mother's Day dedications. This came from Leila Arreaga, from her kids, Jacob, Isabella, and Andrew. And they say, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. These are her kids, and they want to wish her a very happy Mother's Day. So we'll be reading more of these Mother's Day dedications. But before we do, I want to talk about the mom look, mom fashion. Okay, moms, sit up and listen, because some of you fall into this category where you stop giving a crap about how you look. Okay, you wear the high waisted jeans like the old-fashioned ones. God forbid they show a little midriff, and you're wearing those old sneakers, the Skechers, the shape-ups, okay? You wear your clothes two sizes too big, and you got to do away with the fanny pack or the small backpack as a purse. Come on, Mom. Get your hair out of that ponytail and start getting a little bit more fashion savvy. What happened? You used to be a fashion plate, and now your look has always been great, and now you're always looking worried. And what's up with the dry hands from washing the dishes? Use gloves or put them in the dishwasher. But moms, you got to ditch the mom look, okay? Because now we have MILFs. Moms, you'd like to, you know what? And that's the standard you need to start living up to here. The first thing you need to do to get that look is you got to ditch your kids. That's right. Drop them off somewhere and be a goddess for a day. Give yourself a break, Mom, and pretend your husband is the next-door neighbor and is over for some you-know-what. That's right, fantasize. And by the way, do me a favor. Moms everywhere, listen up. Burn, I say with real flames, burn anything you own that's made of gray sweat material. If it's made of gray sweat material, burn it. Oh, and also burn anything that has stains on it, which may be your entire wardrobe. But if it has stains on it, do not wear that. Give it to the poor people who don't have any clothes. They'll be happy with the stuff with the stains, but don't wear that stuff. And you know what you need to do? Go buy yourself a copy of Cosmo magazine. Cosmopolitan. You remember that one? The one you used to read about sex and all the things you needed to do to beef up your relationship and how to look cute and sexy? Okay. Go back to the store and buy that. Buy that, pick an outfit from Cosmo, and recreate it. Now, you might have to get it a couple sizes bigger, but make an effort with the clothes, okay? Get clothes that are actually your size and no Skechers. And here's another thing. The minute moms become moms and they have all these responsibilities, they stop doing their hair, their nails, their eyebrows. Listen, you got to go in, like do it right now, today. Do it before Mother's Day and get yourself waxed. And I'm saying upstairs and downstairs, get the bikini wax. Because you know what? Your husband or your lover or you whoever, your partner, will be freaked out that you actually got a bikini wax, Mom, because you know that it's been at least whatever age your kid is, the last time you got a bikini wax was when you got into labor and went to the hospital to give birth to that child. And maybe not even then. Go get yourself a bikini wax. Mom, stop looking like a mom. That's what I'm trying to say. Because somehow, along the process, the wheels fall off, as well as the heels and the Persia bra and the makeup. You know what? Ditch the mom look. Ditch your kids for a day. And stop, you know, start looking like the goddess you are, because you know there's a goddess in there. All right? All right. Now I'm going to share another couple of memories because, you know, since the show is dedicated to Binky, my mom, I wanted to tell you about when we went to Brazil. Okay, so here's the story. I was actually dating a guy at the time, and he and I were going to go to Brazil, and we were going to take my mom. And what happens? We broke up 2 weeks before the trip. So my mom's like the typical Latina. Oh, my God, we can't go to Brazil. It's dangerous. You know, they're going to pick our pockets and pick us up and blah, blah, blah. We can't go. I'm like, girlfriend, pack your bags. We are going to Brazil. And we did. And you know what? My mommy and I had the most amazing time in Rio de Janeiro. We were up till 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and she was partying right along with me. Now, I don't say that she was partying like Dina Lohan, but she, let me tell you, my mom is always up for an adventure. She's always up for a good time. And with a little coaxing there, I was able to get her on a 24-hour flight to Rio de Janeiro. And we had the most amazing time. And those are memories that are going to last a lifetime, at least the ones when we weren't having caipirinhas, because those things will knock you straight off your ass. And we had a few of those. But it's just so amazing to share that experience with my mom. And I got to tell you, if we had gone with that guy, I don't think we would have had as much fun. We certainly wouldn't have. We would have had to do things that everybody wanted to do. And the cool thing about going out with my mom or doing stuff with my mom is that she's always up for all my antics. So if I, like, want to go, you know, do whatever, snorkel and in high heels, she's like, oh, all right, Jackie. That's what makes a good mom, when they're agreeable with you. When they do all the things you want to go do, even if they don't want to go do them, because they want to please you. And moms are always trying to please us, and we should appreciate them on Mother's Day. Have you bought your Mother's Day card yet? All right. These people have not bought their Mother's Day card, so they sent an appreciation for their mom, and you're really going to love this one. David and Jody Aronson, Mom, we love you. Hope you can see the amazing people we've become from your perch in heaven. So this is a dedication in memoriam, and we know their mom is looking down at them and gracing them with love, and in whatever capacity that our moms can, you know, I think our moms are always connected to us soul-wise, you know. I always tell my mom, first of all, one of the critical things she needs to do is live to 110. 115 would be better, but she promised me that she's going to live to 110, and I'm holding her to it. The other thing is that she also promised me that when she goes, that she's going to haunt me. Like, you know, move a picture frame off a desk or blow out a candle, you know, typical things that ghosts do. And knowing my mom, she'll come up with some crazy-ass way to do it. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, and I forgot to mention it when she called in, but one of the crazy-ass stories that come from my childhood, this is why, people, this is why I'm loca, because of my mother. Because, get this, you know what she did once? Okay, so I'm off at school, and the next thing you know, my mom brings a duck, like a real live quack quack duck, into the house. Apparently, this was the biggest duck she had ever seen in her entire life. And she wanted to bring him into the house to show me what this duck looked like because she was so amazed by the size of a duck. So she pulls over. Now, we live next to a canal, so all the ducks used to go around the canal. I seriously doubt they go there anymore because now they're terrified that some lady's going to take them in her car, but that's what she did. She pulled up next to the duck and somehow or other got this massive duck inside her car. Okay? Can you imagine driving home with a crazy-ass, strange, wild duck who's crapping all over your car so your daughter can see? This is love. This is what I'm telling you, people. This is a mother's love. So she brings this duck home and actually, somehow or other, gets him out of the car and gets him to come with her inside of our house. So this duck was in there, and she said that he was so incredibly miserable and quacking and terrified at this stage of the game, you know, like by now I would have given up on the duck. I don't know how she did it, but basically she let the duck go. She couldn't be inhumane and keep the duck any longer, so she opened the door and let him just fly out. And for the first time in her life, my mom realized that a duck can fly faster than any other animal on the face of the planet. But to this day, we have this duck story. Because my mom is crazy. This is the kind of crazy stuff she does. But you know what other kind of crazy stuff she's done? When I was a kid, my mom pretty much made me most of my clothes. Like, she used to sew because she was a seamstress by trade. And I'll never forget, I had competed for some sort of queen of the school, something like that, and I had won, and my mom had to make me a dress, a beautiful, beautiful dress, and we all had to sort of pick queens in history that we wanted to emulate. So my queen was a Russian queen, so she literally made me this costume dress, which was spectacular. It had fake fur on it. It had sequins. It had beading that she did by hand. You got to love your little girl, because, you know, some of those little girls are brats. Not me. I was not a brat. But some of those little girls are real pain in the ass. You don't want to sew them anything. But my mom was very nice, and she sewed me this dress. And to this day, I remember her staying up way past my bedtime to finish this beautiful dress so I could wear it. And, you know, I got to take my hat off to moms who sacrifice so much for their kids. My mom and dad worked like crazy to give me a great life, and I appreciate that. And I know I sound like Pollyanna. I should be on my show crying to all you, telling you what a terrible childhood I've had and how they beat the crap out of me. Okay, wait a minute. My mom didn't beat the crap out of me necessarily, but she had this unique pinch that she would do, and it was not an overt pinch. It wasn't like something she would just go up to me and pinch me. No. We would be sitting there, and I'd pull some crap, and she would literally fold her arms, and underneath her elbow, she would grab a chunk of my skin and twist it. Now, if she was on the phone right now, oh, my God, this woman would deny this till the cows came home. But she did it. She did it. And at the time, I'd, like, be so upset, and I'd cry and the whole thing, you know, because she was pinching me hard so that nobody else could see. But, and she would deny this now. But you know something? I appreciate my mom disciplining me, because I grew up to be a woman con decencia, with decency. And that doesn't mean that I didn't wear very low-cut shirts that she didn't like or very short shorts that she didn't like. She used to tell everybody that el barrio entero has seen my daughter's boobs, because I used to wear a lot of stuff with cleavage, used to. I would still do it today, all right? I will still do that today, but it was way more in fashion. And so she used to tease me that the entire barrio had seen her daughter's boobs, which is not true. They didn't see the whole boob. And I think if you're going to make that claim, you may as well see everything, okay? But no, that's not the case. But my mom was very tough. She was very tough. She was very, very, very overprotective, and she was very much a disciplinarian, and I could not step left or right. You know, I had to stay on the straight and narrow. So you know what? I do appreciate my mom raising me that way, because today, if I have a child, I'll beat the shit out of them. No, I'm just kidding. I won't beat the crap out of them, because I don't want to be called by the police, because, you know, today kids will get on that 911 call and start lying about the fact that you hit them, and you don't want to end up in jail just because you're trying to discipline your kids. I'm not saying my mom beat the crap out of me, but she definitely was a tough mom, and I appreciate it now, because if I ever have kids, or when I have kids, you know, I'm going to be a disciplinarian, and I think kids need to be, like, they need to be disciplined, okay? They need tough love. And those two things, in my philosophy, go together. Because I do think you have to have very strict guidelines for kids. They need to know exactly what you mean. And you can't be fluffing around. Like, these mothers that one time they mean one thing, but the next time they mean another thing, that just creates confusion, people. You need to be straight up. Like, don't you damn well do that, or I'll eat you. See, that kind of stuff works very, very well with kids. Because they know you will eat them. And even if you never will actually eat them, they'll think you'll eat them. So, you know, at least the fear of God is within them to never, ever do anything wrong. That's good discipline. All right? But when your kids do something wrong, you got to forgive them. Right? You can't be one of these moms that just is terrible and doesn't forgive your kids. because that's a mom's job. You have to have major forgiveness, because if you don't have the ability to forgive, don't become a mom, because you'll always be miserable. And I know some moms who are absolutely miserable. I don't understand. Like, some moms just go have kids, but they don't realize that having kids means, like, actually having kids all the way around you all the time. And they kind of freak out and, you know, I mean, come on, okay? Anyway, all right, so I'm going to read another dedication before we get on to the next topic here. Okay, let's read another dedication. This is from Amelia Sanchez, and she wants to wish her 105-year-old mom, oh my God, her mom's 105. Her Amelia Sanchez wants to wish her mom, who's 105 years old, her mother's name is Anita Arriaga. Anita Arriaga, maybe she's related to Layla. Okay. Anita Arriaga, she wants to wish her 105-year-old mom the best Mother's Day ever. Wow, 105. I wonder if she gives lessons on how to get that old, because I want her to talk to my mom. You know what? My mom is amazing, and I said this 1,000 times now, and I'm saying this so she'll buy me a nice present for Mother's Day. But one of the reasons she's amazing is because she's aging so beautifully. So she mentioned earlier, she's 81 years old. She lives, you know, and takes care of herself. She goes to the store. She goes on the bus. She goes to church. She has an amazing time. She has friends. She yaks on the phone all day. Oh, and she watches the news like it's the last bit of news that you'll ever get. Like, whenever you call my mom, she's doing one of two things. She is either, she's either watching the news, or she's about to say her prayers. And I'm like, what, again? Like, she says her prayers 6 or 7 times a day, like it's a full-time job. I honestly think God needs to give her some insurance, like benefits and stuff like that, give her a couple weeks vacation, because my mom's full-time job is to say her prayers. And then I joke about this stuff, and then I realize she's probably sitting there praying for my husband and I to have a kid, or praying for us to live a happy life. But I think it's probably more to have a kid. But anyway, my mom is just a little saint. I love her. Happy Mother's Day, Mommy. All right, we'll be right back after this. Stay with me.
Easy Way Broadcasting is your connection for all things entertainment and business. Join Eric Easy Zuli and his celebrity hosts as they talk to the hottest people in the world of entertainment, and they bring you the latest and greatest in the world of business. Eric welcomes his hosts to Blog Talk Radio 7 days a week. You will hear Mo Egger, Shane Sparks, Jackie Dollar, Rick Rosman, Gabriel Cannon, Vanessa Curry, and Jennifer Murphy. Visit www.easywaybroadcasting to find links to all the shows and info on upcoming events. And follow Eric Zuli and his 500,000 Twitter followers at HollywoodIfGuy.com to keep up with everything you want to know.
You're listening to Jackie Dollar, and this is Jackie's Vida Loca, and we're talking about all the wonderful things that you need to do for your freaking mother on Mother's Day. So it's Thursday, and there's still time for you to get an actual present, not to be a loser, and I'm going to tell you all the things that you should not give your mother for Mother's Day. Pay attention, go get a pencil and a paper, write it down on your iPad, however you need to do it, but take notes, because these are all the things you do not want to give your mother for Mother's Day. First of all, you do not want to give her a blender. Do not, even if she asks you for a blender, don't give it to her. Because a blender just means that she's going to have to make something for someone, and that's more work for your mother. Do not give your mom or any mom anything to do with kids on Mother's Day, all right? Because for one day of the year, give her the day off. It's Mother's Day. She's supposed to relax, be quiet, be nice, be enjoying her day. Take her kids and hide them in the closet. Here's another thing not to give your mother for Mother's Day. Don't give her any diet products. Don't you think that your mother already knows she's a mom? She has a big ass, right? Most mothers do. Don't give her anything to remind her that she has to lose weight, get in shape, get fit. This is a day that she should be eating bonbons all damn day long. Don't get her anything dietetic. Here's another thing do not give mom. Do not remind mom that she has wrinkles because she brought you up into this world. Don't give her wrinkle cream. Don't do it. And here's another thing. Don't give her a new puppy, a new kitten, any kind of new pet, any other living creature that she needs to go and take care of and feed and give pills to and take to the vet and all that, just don't do it on Mother's Day. Do it the day after Mother's Day. Just don't do it on Mother's Day, because what she's really looking to do is not have to take care of any crap anymore. And if you have to bring another living creature for her to keep alive, like she did with you, it's going to be a very tough one. Here's another thing. Don't get her any cleaning equipment, like Windex or Clorox cleanup or a mop or a broom or a new vacuum cleaner. Don't get her anything that she's going to use to clean on Mother's Day, because that just reminds her of her sorry-ass life every other day of the year when she's got to clean up after you or grandchildren or after your dad or her mate or whatever. No cleaning products for Mother's Day. And you know what? I bet you guys are thinking, okay, we're not going to get her any cleaning products. Let's just get her bath stuff. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't get her any bath stuff, any creams for the bath, because you know what? You've gotten her that gift every single other Mother's Day, and it's a lame gift. You know what you've done? You've gone to CVS or Walgreens. You've gone straight to the bath stuff. You got her some lame-ass cheap soap and some bubble bath or whatever. You do it every year for every holiday. Don't get your mom bath stuff. And for that matter, don't even get her perfume. Even if your mom stinks, don't get her perfume. All right, if she stinks, get her some perfume, and I'll tell you which one to get. Get her the Marc Jacobs Daisy. She'll love it. You know what? My dogs got that for me one year for Mother's Day, and I really liked it. So the only perfume you are allowed to buy your mother on Mother's Day is Marc Jacobs Daisy. Otherwise, any other selection is going to be lame ass. Unless it's Hermes, it's going to be lame ass, or Marc Jacobs Daisy. But we don't have to keep going on about this, but you get the picture. Perfume is a very non-thought-through book. A non-thought-through gift, I mean. I started to say book because the next thing on my list here is a self-help book. Do you really think mothers wrote the book on self-help? Basically, get you to the age of 18 as quickly as possible, and that is enough help for yourself. You know, get you, keep you alive for long enough so that you can move out and go do your thing. So don't get your mom a self-help book, because that just reiterates that she needs help. And here's another thing. Look, I realize you're probably thinking, oh, my God, Jackie, you have literally gone through every gift I was going to get, but I'm out of ideas, and I'm going to run and buy a gift card. Okay, people, if you're out of ideas and need to buy a gift card, go right ahead. All right, listen, I promised you we were going to talk to Nina Newton, and I've got her on the line with me, and I want to introduce you to a woman who was crazy enough that after she had a toddler, she decided to have another baby. So, Nina, are you there? Hello? Now, I see you here, Nina.
Yes, hi.
Oh, my goodness,
hi,
you are there. Well, welcome to Jackie's Vida Loca. How are you?
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're having a great old time here.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying the show.
Oh, good. So you think we're crazy?
It's okay. I'm crazy too. Slice it right in.
Well, that's why, you know what? When Talene said that she had somebody who would be perfect to interview for our Mother's Day show, and she told me about you, I thought you were crazy too, because you have a toddler and you're pregnant with another baby.
Yep.
So do you feel like your life is a little crazy sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Yeah. To be pregnant with a toddler, with an active toddler who, I mean, every minute of the day you have to keep them entertained. You know, I'm 3 months pregnant, so I just finished the first trimester, and in the first trimester you're often feeling your worst, and you're just tired, and you just the last thing you want to do is run around, but it doesn't matter. You have a toddler.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about Alex, because he is absolutely adorable.
Aw, thank you. Well, he's 2.5 years old. He is a very sweet kid. Let's see.
Does he ever act up?
You know, of course he does, of course. But I have to say, knock on wood, I am pretty lucky, because he doesn't have nearly as many tantrums and meltdowns as as I hear other kids do. But of course he does. I mean, he's 2.5 years old. Of course he's going to break something.
Every kid has a tantrum. Hey, do you remember back to a tantrum you yourself had ever?
Oh, yeah. My mom, speaking of Mother's Day, my mom always tells me, you are so lucky. This kid is an angel. He's an angel compared to how you were.
So you acted up.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure this next one is going to be just like me, so I better prepare.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to know, because you've just been listening to the show and you've heard of all the worst presents to give your mother for Mother's Day. What do you think is the worst present of all that you can get for Mother's Day, like you personally?
That I can get? Cleaning supplies, like you said. I think that would be the worst.
So you don't want Ajax for Mother's Day. I get it. I get it.
No, thank you.
No. Okay, so we talked about the worst gift. What is the best gift? Like, what would you love? Like, if money was no object, what would be the best Mother's Day gift ever for you?
You know, I'm going to be so cliche right now, but I'm really being honest when I say that he's just starting to get to the age where he can, you know, quote-unquote, make stuff for me. In all honesty, that's the best. You know, it's something that he put thought in and made with love. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but honestly, that is the best Mother's Day gift.
So when I was six,
I'm not saying Valentine's gift or anniversary.
Yeah, no, we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that. But here's the thing: when I was six, I made like in my art class in school, they told us to take these round sheets of paper and make your mother's face for Mother's Day, and that they were gonna turn those round sheets of paper into plastic plates, right? So I made a picture of my mom. I made her with curly blonde hair. She has brown hair. I made her with a long V pointy nose, which looks nothing like her. I made her with blue eyes instead of green ones that she has. And I put pearls all over her neck. And she looked like a monster, right, when I finished. But she still has this plate like 10,000 years later. It's like one of her most treasured things. Now, if I got a plate like that from my kid and he made me like that, I'd kill him.
You know, you'd think you'd kill him, but I don't think you would. I think if that were to happen, I think you would really treasure it, too.
I think I would treasure it, but I'd hide it. Because if that's what my kid thought I looked like. Okay, so let's talk about, let's pretend that you got this amazing thing that he made for you. What's the second thing you'd want? Because obviously we're going here for what your indulgence is.
Huh. Well,
would you want to go on a trip? Would you want a shopping spree? Like, what would you want?
Oh, shopping spree. That sounds great.
Hey, ding, 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 ding.
Spree,
I got it right.
A spa treatment, a day at the spa. That would be great, which I got last year for Mother's Day. That was wonderful.
I think that sounds wonderful, too. A spa treatment. Mm. How about if you went to a spa treatment, then had a couple glasses of champagne, and then went to the mall?
That would be awesome, but unfortunately I can't do that this year.
Oh, that's right. You can't get... Now, what do you think of these women that actually drink while they're pregnant?
That's just awful. I mean, honestly, that's just plain selfish, you know?
Terrible, right?
Just terrible.
So what do you think of... Because, you know, back in the day, they used to give kids, like, a shot of whiskey if they got sick or whatever. Do you think that's a good idea?
You know, I'm Armenian, and we're completely loca like that, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would be completely opposed to it if the situation arises. You know, like, I probably, my first instinct is to say, you know, hell no, no way, I would never do that. But I don't know. After you have a kid, you're just kind of, as they get older, you're like, I'll try anything.
So are you squeamish about anything? Because I know me, like, I can't even look at baby poo-poo because that just sends me off, and all I want to do is go in the corner and barf. Were you like that when you first had babies? And how have you dealt with that? The smell of poo-poo is terrible.
No, it is. But when it's your baby, it really isn't. It really isn't. I mean, that was really one of my concerns when I was first pregnant. you know, the smell. But honestly, it's when it's your baby, and then especially when they're first born, you know, they're just so tiny, and their tiny little butts and their tiny little poop. It's, I mean, it's like, you know, believe it or not, I know it sounds funny, but it's actually cute.
Are you kidding me? Okay, you've gone too far. You're now saying that baby poop is cute.
I'm a mommy. I'm just being a mommy.
Okay, let me ask you this.
No, it's not. It's not cute. But honestly, when it's your baby, you know, all joking aside, it feels completely different. It's just you're truly not grossed out by anything when it's your kid.
Let me ask you this, because it's exactly right along the lines of what you're saying. Now, you know how sometimes people have a baby, and they send around the baby picture, and you think to yourself, oh, my God, what an ugly kid. But if it's your own baby, you don't see that. Do you think there is such a thing as, because my mother will be the first to tell you, ay, Dios mío, there's not such a thing as an ugly kid, but you know that kid is really ugly. Do you think there is such a thing as an ugly kid, or is just, you know, what do you have to say about that?
Oh, I shouldn't be saying mean things, but sure, yeah, I do. Not my baby, though, not my handsome
little
boy.
Of course not. I'm not talking about our own kids. I'm talking about other people's kids, especially people you don't even know who they are. Like, you work with them, and they're really mean at work, and then they have a baby, and they send the baby picture around, and you're thinking, that baby has a cone head.
Yeah, of course. We're only human. We're going to think stuff like that, but... You know, but when it comes down to it, they're all cute little babies.
Yeah, but sometimes these little babies that are not so cute actually grow up to be absolutely gorgeous, you know? Like, that's the crazy thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Or sometimes...
That's very true. Or vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that happen, too. It's like, what the hell happened here? You know, a few years ago, you were really cute, but now you're an ugly kid. You look just like your father, you know? You say that. And here's the other thing. Have you ever seen, I know I'm kind of being funny now, but this is true. This really happens. Have you ever seen, like, you see the mother, and the mother is, like, 700 pounds and not an attractive woman, but they have the cutest little baby. Like, they have the most beautiful little baby. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I have.
I find that amazing. Like, you created that? Wow. Didn't know you had it in you. I know, we're being mean. Let's be nice.
Well,
okay.
I feel like I'm karma will come back to me, and then my next baby will be ugly.
Nah, your baby's already baked. He's already looking like what you was going to look like when you were being nice. So it's not going to change now.
Speaking of, I really hope that this one looks a little bit like me, because Alex looks exactly like his daddy.
And is he like his daddy personality-wise?
Oh, absolutely. They're exactly, well, not exactly, but they're very, very, very similar in personality and looks. And I'm very happy about that, because my husband's a very handsome guy. So I'm very
happy. Well, he must be, because Alex
is
gorgeous.
Thank you. But, you know, it'll be nice for this one to take after me a little bit.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe not so much personality.
No, you seem very nice. You seem very reluctant. There must be some guilt thing, because you seem very reluctant to say negative things, but you know you're thinking them, right?
Sure.
We all do. All right. So, Nina, let me ask you this. You're now going to be a two-time mom, and it wasn't that long ago that you were not a mom. What has this experience taught you more than anything else?
Oh, it's first thing it's taught me is patience. Patience. Mm-hmm. It's taught me to choose your battles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Actually, before I say all that, I think that it's the first thing it's taught me is just unconditional love. Really, unconditional
mm-hmm.
love. I mean, we love our parents unconditionally too, but we don't really realize just how unconditionally they love us until we're parents. I mean, you know, he hurts my feelings, of course. You know, he'll say things to me, but it doesn't matter. It's like through thick and thin, no matter what, you're just going to unconditionally love your kid, or I hope you do.
Absolutely. So, well, unfortunately, there are some mothers out there that don't. Did you hear the interview we just did with the mother who adopted the dying baby?
She is such an amazing woman.
Wow.
I heard the last part of that interview, and I'd like to listen to the whole thing, but she just blew me away. There should be more people like her in this world.
What a heart of gold for this woman to take a child who had 5% chance of living, whose parents had left him in the hospital. He had cancer. They left him in the hospital. Whatever happened, happened. And she sweeps and takes this child home.
She's one in a million. She's one in a million. There aren't a lot of people who would. I don't
Mother
even
Teresa.
Know if I would do that if I was told that only 5% chance, you know?
Wow. And to become attached to a child and go through. She basically ran back and forth from home to the hospital every single week with this child, you know, with chemo treatments and all kinds of stuff. And to become attached to a child like that and not know whether they're going to see their 10th birthday or whatever, you know? Like just
to be able to go through that emotional gut-wrenching journey when it's not your biological child is just, I mean, when it's your biological child, you know, that boy's parents didn't, obviously, but you know, if it were me, it really doesn't matter. You know, you're just there. It's your child. But for someone to go through that journey, through that gut-wrenching journey when it's not even, you know, their biological child, I mean, she just deserves just a Nobel Prize, really.
Oh, my God. And not only that, but she raised this child with no negative feelings whatsoever toward his biological family. And so now, to this day, she found these people, she made sure her son met them, and they're friends.
That's absolutely amazing. I don't know if I would. I would pray for God to soften up my heart towards those parents. Honestly, I don't know if I'd want to. If I would want to even see them, let alone my son.
I know. I don't know that I could forgive them for what they did, and understand, you know, with a loving heart what they did. But anyway, that's her story. I want to focus on you because I'm so happy to have you as a guest on Jackie Zidaloka today. And you deserve recognition, too, because not only do you have a two-year-old that is a typical toddler, but you're also 3 months pregnant. Now, do you know what this new baby is going to be?
No, not yet. I find out in 2 weeks.
So you want to know in advance, obviously?
Oh, yeah. I am not one of those people that can handle waiting that long.
It's one of life's greatest surprises, you know. It's just a great surprise, whatever it is, right?
Oh, of course, whatever it is, it's going to be a surprise. But you know, it's nice to know in advance and plan accordingly, you know, colors and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything that you want to say to moms out there that are new moms that may be struggling? Because, you know, it is a lot to handle. And what you're doing is a lot to handle, as I'm sure you realize daily. But what kind of advice do you have for new moms out there?
Well, you know, you're gonna have your amazing days, and you're gonna have your not so good days. You know, you're gonna some days you're gonna, you know, look at your child and just be in awe of that. That they're yours, and you're just so in. Well, you're gonna feel in love with them regardless, day and night. But my point is, there are gonna be some days that, you know, you're just gonna feel overwhelmed, and you're gonna feel like, oh gosh, I can't do this. You know, I need a break. You know, or they're gonna test your patience, and you're gonna feel like some days you're gonna feel at your best, and some days you're just gonna feel like you just want to go in the shower and cry, you know, from exhaustion and just, you know, patience. But, you know, at the end of the day, honestly, if you just go and just look at your child as they sleep, I mean, this sounds really cliche again, but they just look like angels when they sleep, and it just completely warms your heart. And it's like at the end of the day, no matter what kind of day you've had, it's like nothing else in the world matters, because that's your baby, you know, that's your baby, that's your heart. And, you know, honestly, to be a mom is genuinely is the best thing in the world. It really is. I mean, it's like the feeling that you get is like no other. It really is the most rewarding
job you can have. I truly believe that. And I think it is the most demanding job, because if you think about the future of society, it rests on the hands of a mother. You know, they're the ones who bring us into this world. They teach us everything we need to know. So it really, truly is, of all the jobs we could have on the face of the planet.
I freak out often just thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I'm the one who's going to mold this kid into what he's going to be as an adult. I mean, wow, talk about pressure.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of pressure.
It's
very demanding. It's very demanding. And I want to know, what do you do in your life to seek balance? Because that's a lot of pressure. I mean, look, we can all go to work at some corporation, and at the end of the day, it's their corporation, not necessarily yours. You need to leave your work behind you. But when you're a mom, you don't leave your work behind you. You're a mom 24/7. So what do you do in your life to find that balance and to find your center? Because on those bad days, there is no boss that you can go and say, okay, take that kid. I'm done for right now. I mean, you might get some relief from babysitting or whatever, but, you know, what do you do to find that balance?
Well, a glass of wine helps.
Back to the alcohol again. For the kid or for you?
Yeah. Other than that, what you were saying earlier, you know, make time to go and get manicures and pedicures and waxes and get your hair done, you know, things like that. Honestly, I feel like things like that keep me centered, you know, continuing to have some me time, which, you know, honestly, I don't have a lot of me time. I don't make enough time for myself to have me time. I don't. I'm guilty of that, but and most moms are, I'm sure.
Right.
But you know, that really is the best advice that you were giving earlier, you know, to get out of that mom funk, you know. And I feel so much better when I have my nails painted, or I have no one to impress all day, but still putting on a little mascara or something, you know, will make me feel better about myself. So
absolutely. You know what, you say you have nobody to impress, but the truth is, once you start losing yourself day to day like that, and you're constantly in sweats and you're constantly looking like a schlep, and you lose yourself.
And I'd like to add that to the advice that I'd like to give moms, is that it's so, so easy to just wake up in the morning. Well, I mean, a lot of moms obviously work, but moms like me, stay-at-home moms like me, it's very, very easy to just wake up in the morning and tie your hair up and wear sweats and stay in sweats all day and, you know, go to the market in sweats and, you know, all that kind of stuff and, you know, not put on makeup and just, you know, just lose that fashion savviness, like you were saying. But it is just so important. That is one of my biggest advice to give to moms, is, you know, it's so easy to get into that mom funk, but really it makes a world of a difference on how you feel about yourself, and then in return, what kind of mom you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to keep your self-esteem, you know, and I do think that there is a particular look that's the mom look. You know what I'm talking about, right? The mom look. And I think that mom look needs to be taken and thrown down the toilet, because, you know, we are still amazing, accomplished women, and there's no reason why we shouldn't take care of our looks and our person. You know, and I think so often when you're overwhelmed with your duties as a mother, that's who you become. And
yep,
you lose
it's
yourself.
Just because it's just because it's easy. It's easier to lose yourself. It's easier to you know, not take care of yourself, because it really is hard to find that time. And then when he's napping, and I have time to do my stuff, I find myself just needing to take a break too. So it's like. You'd think that a mom, especially a stay-at-home mom, has that time, but, you know, when it comes down to it, not really.
Right, because you're constantly going. Well, Nina, let me say this. We literally have a minute and a half left to our show today, but I just want to say thank you so much for joining us on Jackie's Vida Loca.
Thank you.
It is
so
great.
Thank you so much for having me, Jackie. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, good. I'm glad I took you away from your child for at least, what has it been, like 10 minutes now? I'm glad I pulled you away from that, so that you could have a little fun before Mother's Day. So thank you for joining us, all right? And I hope to have you back again at some point in the future. All right, great.
That'd be great.
All right, guys. So we'll see you again next week. Listen for the Crazy Chicken. We'll be back next Thursday, and we're going to talk about proms, everything to do with high school, all the people you hated, all the people you loved, how you looked back then and how you look now, and all the advice you have for people in school, okay? So have a great week, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Adios, everybody. Join me again next Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, for the craziest Latino comedy on Jack.